Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad Boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Rob Bossolari and Sin City Steve on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. You know, as we started today, Rob said, what a slow, stupid week for wrestling, which it's been.
So I'm kind of tired. I'm a little sleepy.
Well, you're going to be even more sleepy because this Saturday, Crown Jewel Perth starts at 5 a.m. our time here on the West Coast. And the pre-show starts at 2 a.m. So, Rob, you know, once you get done off of the stage at Nuck Nuck's 5, you can go straight home.
How did you know about Nuck Nuck's 5?
Oh, man. Secret fraternity, brother.
Wow.
I would do the handshake, but I don't want everyone to know.
Plus demonetization.
Right, exactly. Well,
why are they doing a 3-hour pre-show?
Well, you know, because it's Australia. Australians want, you know, they want their pre-show. It's like the reason, Steve, is because Australians can fucking drink.
There you go.
And that's all they're doing. They're going to be fucking, it's all it's going to be is like Foster's, oh, pre-show, Foster's, pre-show, Foster's, pre-show. 3 hours of that.
They don't drink Foster's. That's racist.
Well, that's racist.
Of course, because they're the only race of people who drinks Foster's. That's it. There we go. All right. So this is what we're getting. We're getting it for that Crown Jewel Championship. Cody versus Seth. And then you're getting Stephanie and Tiffy time. And, of course, that AJ and Cena matchup with now the Kabuki Warriors versus Rhea and Io. And just announced.
Oh, that name's not racist either. That's all they could come up with.
Io? No, you're right.
I want you to call these two Kung Fu-y.
I don't know. What do you think, Speedball Mike Bailey?
Yeah.
Shit. That's a perfect name. I like it a lot. Almost as much as my mullet.
Oh, man. And then Roman and Bronson Reed, the hometown hero, is going to be going against Roman. So that's what it's looking up to be. You know, I think very interesting, the Seth and Cody thing. We saw shades on Raw of Paul Heyman basically telling Cody, if you lose this, you lose the locker room, you lose Braun, you lose Bronson. But Seth questioned, what about another person, you, which was interesting. So they're throwing some shading into this story between him and Cody for this. And they're pointing out too that, you know, Seth and Cody have had this rivalry. So Cody's kind of owned them and okay. It's going to be interesting. And then AJ cut a wonderful promo after the match. He grabbed the microphone and, you know, basically said that this is the last time that they're going at it and they're going to fucking tear the house down, essentially. So, you know, it's some interesting stuff for a morning show for us.
How valuable do you think this match is in the grand, or this PLE is in the grand scheme of things?
Not valuable. It's just a PLE.
Yeah, how much is the normal Crown Jewel type pay-per-views, regardless of whether it's in Saudi Arabia or in this case, if it's in Perth?
I think the first couple of times it was in Saudi Arabia, it was completely meaningless. And then it began to develop and grow, and titles were decided. We saw the first men's world heavyweight reiteration, you know, where Seth Rollins was awarded back then. So there, it became valuable. But then to throw it into Perth, Australia, it seems a little out of place. It doesn't seem to have the same cachet that it was developing in Riyadh. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all it is a title. That's all it is. It's just a name. There's no crown fucking jewel thing. So, you know, just the champ. Scoop said, yeah, the first one was a massive house show.
Yeah.
So, Rob says hello.
To Tragic Comedy, fellow comedian.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Scoop turned in. Perth was a consolation. So they were able to get in the Rumble and Mania. Yep. They had to move it somewhere else.
Does Bronson Reed get booed out of the building, or does he get some local pop?
I believe he gets cheered.
He gets local pop. He gets local pop, but you also will have Roman pop versus it. So you might get a 50-50 split on this,
which
would be interesting. So I'm looking forward to this one, Stephanie and Tiffy.
Gooners unite.
Yeah. Especially, too, with Julia kind of playing in the mix, too. So Bronson Reed gets the Buddy Murphy pop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what happens. With that, you know that in this match, Rhea is going to get a very big pop. But all four of them, that might be the match of the night, to be honest. So
I can see that.
Or the match of the morning.
I don't think any of us have been to Aussie Land.
I have. Thanks for speaking for me, Rob.
Oh, it's Steve. And okay, wait a minute. All right.
So, Rob, who on the show hasn't been to Australia is more of the point here.
All right, I haven't fucking been there, okay? I was living in the greatest two cities in the world. I don't need to go down under.
And that's what she said.
Io.
Hey, speaking of going down under on Raw, man, this match, I'm going to tell you right now, Maxine Dupri and Becky Lynch actually had one of the best matches you could possibly ever ask for Maxine Dupri. It was it was spectacular. It was something I just did not think I'd ever see Maxine Dupri wrestle a match as good as she did with Becky. So, kudos to those two tearing up the house. And speaking of Raw will air live at 8 a.m. next Monday Eastern time. So Raw will also be a 5 a.m.
Come on. Hey, fuck out of here. You know, there's a limit. Get your ass back over to the West Coast. Hey, you know, fuck you guys. You're already leaving there like super fucking early. Get your ass to like San Francisco or L.A. Go to the Intuit Center. You know, fuck is this? I got to be up 5 a.m. for your shitty fucking Raw.
Well, you don't have to be.
You can always watch it later, bro.
Oh, yeah. No, because you know what's going to happen? I'm going to go to fucking Facebook or Instagram, and I'm going to be like, oh, look at that results. Oh, this
Why
guy.
Why would you do that?
So Why I'm just, so, hold on. So now WWE's not only held my wrestling hostage, but they've held my social media hostage.
Exactly. Fuck them.
Wait. This is in Perth. No one's holding anyone a hostage. If it was in Saudi Arabia, I'd give you it.
My name is not Jamal.
Well, half of you could be.
That's a really If you get that one, that means you paid attention.
Yeah.
That's right, because Rob's you know, one.
And that was many deep cuts.
Oh, man. Anyway, let's get on with the Shikogi.
Jesus.
Oh, sorry. Heads are gonna roll. All right.
There we go. You had it. He had to do it. You had to. I set that up. This was a game of T-ball.
Oh, well, it was executed perfectly. Okay.
Oh, God. All three of us. Straight to hell.
Sorry, Steve.
It is what it is at this point.
Hey, speaking of is what it is, apparently it looks like John Cena and Gunther might be John Cena's final match. This is what people are starting to leak out.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, maybe. I don't want to.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
The reason why I don't like it is because I want somebody who's going to be verbose on a mic and not dry. I find that Gunther is good, but he's not a good pairing for Cena. Second to last match, third to last match. Your last match should be, dare I say, somebody not in his current state, but with the qualities of a Jericho. You bring somebody back from the past who can match wits on the mic and really sell it up big time. I don't know. Yes, agreed. There's got to be better.
So that's the thing, is realistically, the person who gets that last match and retires John Cena, it's going to be a monumental boost for their career. So you arguably should use that opportunity on somebody who can benefit from it. And whether that's to build somebody completely fresh, or to, in Gunther's case, submit him as a perennial main eventer, and somebody that, you know, for all intents and purposes, will always be in the main event. That's a great way to do it. I think that it adds even more legitimacy to him, as if he needed any more legitimacy.
Remember who retired Kurt Angle?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, that's the whole thing. The thing is that Angle thing really didn't go anywhere anyway. But Gunther's already a star. Right. So if you use him, he's already been a world champion and stuff. Quite honestly, you know, there's one guy who I think this would benefit his career, and that is Vince McMahon. So Vince versus Cena, we'll build him back up.
I'm going to tear him apart.
Give him the win. Hey, look at this. These Raws and SmackDowns have been so boring, says Matthew Jackson. Would you believe Matt Jackson would say that? I would. Freaking young buck boy.
Hey, man. There you go.
But we did have the complete return of Jurassic Express, so that was, you know, that was a little height in the wrestling.
Yeah, we'll get back to that in a second.
Came out the
more important news. Ash Dannebrog had to relinquish the title, as we kind of touched upon last week, because of personal issues, allegedly retiring from wrestling potentially. So not a lot on the story yet. Kalani Jordan just gave us an excuse to show this picture with her with the title. Exactly. She's got a lot of assets going for her. That's definitely for sure. So Kalani Jordan is the new champ, and the new tag team champs are the Idyllics. Iconics.
The inspiration.
Idildos. I don't know.
Idildos.
So
there's two women that would have done well in Perth, Australia. They're like on again, off again, but they're always entertaining, good in the ring. They're good, but they have no solo career. They never were able to do anything solo, and that's what fucked them. WWE put out that candle way too soon with them by breaking them up as quickly as they did. They learned their lesson and they applied it to Chelsea Green because she's that same type of character. So let that ride, TNA. And you know what? That might allow them to make their way to NXT for a little cameo.
Exactly. Speaking of.
Well, speaking of which. Look at that, Rob. You asked, we shall receive. As they are part of this Showdown team, which is hysterical because there isn't a single independent wrestler of TNA.
Yeah, exactly. Team. Exactly. You've got Kalani Jordan, the Inspiration, and Mara Shade on the TNA Knockouts team.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah. What? What the fuck? Just genuinely, what the fuck? So genuinely what that tells me is the TNA women's team is winning their match. That's what that tells me right off the jump. Because if you look at the other match graphic, which I'm sure you'll show, there we go. TNA ain't winning that one.
Why not, Steve? I mean, you've got Mike Santana's half a face there.
Do you really expect them to put over two TNA teams? And if you'll notice, as you mentioned, the women's team is entirely made up of women that used to be in the WWE and NXT system.
Right.
Yes, but they have on the NXT men's team the most eloquent wrestler ever in Moose.
Not touching it. I'm not.
I can appreciate you trying to make good for your previous disses on Moose, but.
Yeah, you're, you know, that's not.
Insanely talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine if you had Harley Cameron and the Inspiration as a trio. Oh, my God. That would be insane.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And then throw in Toni Storm once in a while. And then just call it the new Thunder Down Under or the new Thunder Tits. I don't know. You know, you could play with it.
Yeah. Sure. No, you call them Down
Under. Sure, a lot of people would.
Down Under Tits. That's what you call them.
Down Under Tits.
Yep. Speaking of Down Under Tits, we got the Hardy Boys.
Come on. Don't do Matt like that.
Hey, man, you know, he's up there in age. He's old enough to be your younger brother now, Rob.
Wow.
They're going against the four guys that really have no reason to be together in NXT except for blackouts and throwing them in there. And I'm still going, wow. It's just, wow.
That's a thing. That's still a thing.
Winner takes all. Looks like Hardy Boys will get those NXT titles, I would assume. Yep. This one's great, though. Ethan Page versus Mustafa Ali.
That'll be the best match on the show.
Yeah, especially because of the fact that they set it up with the fact that Mustafa actually said that he was owed that fucking title shot because they fired him the night before he was supposed to get that match with Dominic.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Great storytelling in that.
Good on them. Good on them referencing real life shit and tying it in and making it canon. That's the type of thing that, you know, previously they wouldn't go there. That would be something that was left unsaid. Now the reality of it all is they're starting to not insult intelligence. People know that was the case. Now they just validated it and it's a step forward in the business and with fans, them acknowledging shit like that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of acknowledging shit like that, then this happened over in AEW where this guy showed up.
Yeah, he did.
How does that work with the contract? What kind of contract was he on with WWE that he was able to show up a month later?
He was fired.
Yeah, he was terminated.
Rob, if you would just please go ahead and say the two word phrase there.
You're fired.
There you go. That's exactly right. And as such, he did not have a no compete. So
gotcha.
They didn't give a shit. They didn't care about him showing up on AEW TV. They were like, fuck you, get out of here. We're escorting you out of the building, which is mind blowing. And then he winds up there in AEW. And I think we can see possibly how he could have gotten one of those wellness violations.
Yeah, no kidding. And then this guy probably, I would assume, shows up as well. Do we get that, maybe?
That's what I want right there. Give me what I want.
Say it, Steve.
Yo, soy King Cuerno.
There we go.
Mm.
So Santos Escobar leaves and goes there, and then you got Andrade there. You know, again, what's funny about it is it's mid-carders.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing more. It's nothing less. It's just mid-carders. It's Phil on television. That's it.
But the thing that they can do with that, though, is that will allow them to pad that mid-card, and then they can actually segue some of their homegrown talents into the main event scene. So, like, I see what they're trying to do with it, and it makes sense. It's just execution if that'll actually happen.
Right. See, that's the problem I have, though. It's like this homegrown talent, they've just not done it. They just don't know how to do it. And that was the one thing that bugs me more than anything. MJF, Swerve, that'd be great. Why are they not up there? Because, frankly, the fucking egos of guys like Moxley, Adam Page, you know, Daniel Bryan. Fuck. Why not? You know?
So keep in mind, Swerve is injured and MJF is filming something currently.
Right. No, that's fine.
Are you saying overall? You're saying overall people who are going to hold the top prizes.
That's what we should be seeing, is more of those types of guys mixed in. I mean, Darby Allin is not a draw on a big scale.
No, for me, they were calling him the pillar. He was the most exciting mid-carder and high flyer and hardcore act, but he's not a champion, the main champion. You're not going to wrap the company around him.
There's a reason that him and Jack Perry are not top players, and that's because they look like they're 13. That's all. It's very simple.
I can understand, like, for instance, there being room for one of those people on the roster, like in their current state. As a singles competitor, that's why I think honestly it is smart that they did reunite Jurassic Express so that they can actually focus on tag championships. Realistically, if Darby Allin is one of your only non-conventional looking pro wrestlers that you have on your show, then I think that helps. I totally understand exactly what you're saying, Matt. I think that there is room for, you know, one, maybe two of those on the roster, just because they can appeal to, you know, the non-traditional character archetypes that we've seen in professional wrestling. So.
My thing is, if you're going to go back to the Jurassic Express and you're not going to have Jack Perry be Jungle Boy, it seems like they're trying to do a hybrid of his last character in this one.
Yes.
You might have to get to a point where you pull the trigger and have Luchasaurus speak. Because Luchasaurus is basically the company's Kane. Yeah. How long was exactly it until Kane began to speak and then develop? And he ended up becoming very good after a while.
Well, he just needed the voice box.
Right. And that was all within a year and a half. Luchasaurus has been there for almost 6 years.
Yeah. I mean,
holy shit. I didn't even think of the timeline, but that's
Luchasaurus. And they had a very poppy thing when they had, and I know they're not going to bring back the little kid, Marco Stunt, but then you got to take it into another direction and have this guy cut some promos, have him take a finisher, and get Jack out of the way, and then have him say something, do something dramatic to make them a more edgy tag team. It's because the same thing, it's like with Orange Cassidy coming back, he kind of seems out of place now on a roster full of these gigantic guys, and the whole thing of him not having anything to say or do and then developing into a main wrestler, I don't want to go back to that. I don't know if I have the patience to go back to that, to the dry comedy routine. I don't know.
Yeah, he has to change that character in some way, shape, or form. He can't be the exact same Orange Cassidy that he was. I agree with that too. Realistically,
Willow Nightingale.
We can't have everybody run the same gimmicks for, the company's been around for 6 years. A lot of these guys and girls are doing the exact same gimmick that they did when the company started. And that is not how your company should be. Characters need to grow. They need to develop. You need to give the audience a reason to follow along and to invest in that character. So
Johnny Impact joined MXM Collective. And I looked at this and I said, in another promotion where they all came from, in another lifetime, that would have worked. Yeah. But there's so many iterations of the flamboyant tag team. He's starting to look his age in the face. He's starting to look a little too old to be running with these two kids. Taya Valkyrie's as a valet when she herself is a good wrestler. None of the gimmicks are working. Yeah. And at the same time, you've got Dalton Castle and the Outrunners doing the same type of thing.
Yep, basically the same shit.
We're fruity tag team and we're pushing the, well, we're gay and these two guys are like gay for Dalton Castle, and then the other guys are fashion models who took the WWE thing and dragged it over here. And yeah, you could easily take all of these guys, dump them into Ring of Honor, get rid of all this extra fluff on Wednesday night and on Saturday night, dump them off in the Ring of Honor, take the Ring of Honor people that are actually doing something, bring them up to main roster. You know, you started off Collision with Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal had a great flurry of offense as the match began and was a reminder that the guy's good. Fuck over Ring of Honor, put him up there on main roster. You want to put him up there with Briscoe? I'll watch the two of them because he's got mic skills. You know, you just got to get rid of the fluff. Remember, like last season was supposed to be about Jeff Jarrett. How quickly did they drop that shit?
Oh, went extremely fast when they saw the shit wasn't drawing.
Yeah, because I don't give a damn about Jeff Jarrett. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you my story.
Good time to talk about this then. Adam Page responds to ICE airing commercials during AEW Dynamite. It's not just AEW, but NXT, SmackDown. There's commercials airing during all of them. Just like the Army commercials.
This is a different energy to it, though.
Yeah, no, I'm just making the point. You know, it's that's the thing. It's different, but at the same time, keep putting it out. So, a lot of people have praised the fact that Tony Khan allows social awareness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that in itself, and also, surprising that Adam Page would say something, being that he is a cowboy. You know, it's
that whole, well, no, yeah, but I, well,
know, he's, I mean, got that cowboy thing going on.
So here's the thing, is this is not out of the character of Adam Page, the person.
Right.
But, you know, it, realistically speaking, I can commend Tony Khan for allowing his roster, his athletes, to sound off on a topic such as this. Now, obviously, anybody who knows me knows I don't exactly see eye to eye with his statements. But at the end of the day, I respect that right to voice those opinions, to use that platform to voice those opinions. And, you know, that is one of the great things about our country, is the diversity of thought and allowing people with different opinions and different mindsets to shine and to actually, you know,
WWE would never have allowed that.
Yeah,
his ass would have been banned for a week. You would have had Cole going, "We here at WWE respect all different points of view. However, this is not the time in our country's discourse to blah, 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 blah." Anyway, that would have been a disaster. Tony Khan's probably looking at this going, "Fuck, if I get the liberals, if I get the other half of the aisle and I look cool, this is going to make me look really good." Yeah. You say that, Hangman. You fucking say that. And the only thing I'm glad is that he didn't jump on the bandwagon. It was smart to let the one guy rank, because if you jump on there and try to piggyback off the other guy's momentum, you look desperate. So let him go to the left of WWE. And he'll probably look at this going, "They said nothing about it. I look cool." Whatever. Do I want to see those types of commercials? Me personally, no, but that's neither here nor there. They pay their money.
But Rob, who would like to see those kind of commercials?
he'll be around a little bit, because we have we'll have him in full force.
Okay. All right. He'll be
in full force. It'll be like a, "Hey, here he is." Well, you know, it'll be
okay. All right. So Rob's gonna whip it out a little later.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some fun stuff. Steve, go ahead and read that for us, because my eyes can't see it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So AEW and DC Comics join forces for a groundbreaking comic book crossover that unites two powerhouse universes in a bold new storytelling experience, launching with a special preview edition available exclusively to fans at New York Comic Con. So, again, they're getting it. They're starting to get it. Cross promotion, get your brand out there. Let people realize that there is another alternative.
Yeah.
DC Comics sucks.
Well, no, wait, but it is smart. This is the thing that they should have not been ignoring, and that Correct. Is utilizing the thing that is part of Warner Brothers.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
that's it.
I always use the term death by a thousand cuts. This is the opposite. You have to make little incremental gains, go out to all of the other venues that are wrestling adjacent. And yeah, that's wise.
Yeah. Especially when it's in your own house. And exactly. That's something that, you know, they shouldn't have been sitting on. So it makes a lot of sense. And,
do they have trading cards, AEW trading cards?
Yes, they're through Upper Deck. Yeah,
Upper Deck. Okay.
Yeah, and they've had it since the beginning. You know, that was one of their first things. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, something maybe get some fans, you know, who are younger, who, you know, will see it in the comic book store and kind of go, "Oh, I want to kind of see what this is." So. All right, Steve, you're going to have to read this one again. My eyes, okay. This is small font, but this has to do with the new ratings. All right.
Yes.
I can knock that out.
All right.
Or one of you guys, whoever.
Rob, if you want to take that, man.
Nielsen new rating systems. Big data plus panel has significantly impacted wrestling viewership numbers. The system combines data from 42,000 households with 45 million homes and 75 million devices, aiming to provide more accurate measurements. However, the change has led to a substantial drop in reported viewership for following wrestling shows. Affected wrestling shows, WWE, NXT on the CW, AEW Dynamite on TBS, WWE SmackDown on USA Network, AEW Collision on TNT. According to reports, WWE, NXT, and AEW Dynamite have taken significant hits, with NXT's ratings dropping 41% and Dynamite's dropping 32%. The new system doesn't include HBO Max streaming data, which might further impact AEW's numbers. Industry insiders are concerned about the long-term financial implications of these changes. Some people think that the new rating systems might negatively impact negotiations for TV deals, as seen in TNA's current negotiations. Others believe that this change could lead to a better viewing experience. Change could lead to a better viewing experience, and the wrestling community is still adapting to these changes, and it remains to be seen how promotions will adjust their strategies.
Well done. Well done.
What do we think, guys?
The big takeaway from this is... So how long have they been reporting incorrect numbers for professional wrestling? I mean, realistically, if this has always been in place, wrestling must not be as popular as what we think it is and what advertisers have been led to believe it is. It could be a bad thing for professional wrestling, and that it doesn't matter AEW or WWE. Especially things like what it mentioned at the end there. And incidentally, that was an AI-generated article, and there were numerous sources that it pulled that information from. But it's happening. This is a legit thing. For instance, AEW Dynamite this past week had its lowest rating that it's had in 6 years because it was the first usage of the new ratings criteria. So yeah, I think we're going to start to see numbers that are a lot lower than what we're used to seeing. And it could be a bit of a sobering take for the professional wrestling fans out there.
Yeah. It's
not to mention fucking stockholders for TKO.
I'd never liked that WWE's methodology was to scatter their programming across so many different streaming services over the course of the last two or three seasons. It's not easy to keep up with it. And in all honesty, some of the time I'm only getting those subscriptions simply to watch WWE, whereas before it was in one consolidated location.
We got spoiled with the network, bro.
Right. You've had Fox, you've had USA, you've had Peacock. You've had now ESPN. It's all over the place, and that's a distraction. CW, that's a distraction. And then you add AEW into that mix. If you're even a remotely big wrestling fan, you're not just watching WWE in programming. You're going across, God, like 10 different sources of programming to get your wrestling. So it's a bit much.
Absolutely is.
And it's taking your viewers and you're stretching them thinner, in my opinion.
Yeah. Also the other thing too with it is eventually, you know, ratings are going to be non-existent, let's face
Correct.
It. It's all going to be streaming and people buying packages.
Well, no, you could still have a rating system through streaming because now they'll have an even more direct system where they can just figure out how many people are logging on specifically for that program. It doesn't have to be like in the 90s.
But the difference is that you're paying subscription prices. So if you're buying it, let's say you're buying HBO Max for Peacemaker, right? You have HBO Max, so you're paying for Peacemaker, but that's also funding AEW.
Right, but I can also determine you can go and go, hey, I need to get a list of what people were streaming, what programs. They'll have that. They'll have who is watching what. Yeah. So they can still determine the viewage. Now the question really becomes, if you go by that logic that you're putting out there, which I can understand where you're coming from, then you're going to say, well, instead of us determining the quality of the program, we'll just put the program on a streaming platform that it already has a ton of viewers. This way we guarantee the maximum coverage. Instead of, we need to be concerned with how many people went on the Netflix to see Monday Night Raw, it's on Netflix. It doesn't matter. We picked the best of the streaming platforms, so it doesn't matter. And I think it will matter because you want to invariably sell tickets to something and sell merchandise. So they're going to be, well, they're smart. They're checking who was watching Raw on Netflix.
Hold on. But see, now you're talking about tickets and merchandising.
It's all an ecosystem.
We know that AEW is doing shows that are setting up for like under 2,000 for Dynamite this week. So if everyone's going to argue that AEW is successful, but they don't draw, then I think that invalidates that point right there.
I think AEW is not necessarily successful, but it's better than other programs out there. Not necessarily comparing wrestling to wrestling. I'm just going to say for the channels that they're on, maybe you could argue at best that they are decent. But if you go by what you see on TV, one week they're in a state, you know, in an arena for 16,000 with only 3,000 in attendance. Then they're in a room of 3,000 people packed out. Then they're in a room with 5,000. They're all over the place. They look like TNA from 10 years ago, but they want to be WWE. There's no consistency by which they choose to book places. It's all over the place. That's a whole different conversation. That's just inadequate booking, in my opinion. Or not solid or not consistent booking.
No, I think that's not proper advertising and promotion and getting
that's,
people in.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly
the whole nine yards. Yeah. When TNA came to Vegas, they went to the Orleans, and you were promised that you were going to see the Main Event Mafia. You're going to get to see Sting, Hogan. You're going to get to see Samoa Joe. Rampage Jackson was supposed to be there. Aces and Eights were going to be there. And you're like, wow, this should be a draw. And it was mostly full, but not all the way full. And I went, for their purposes at that point in time, it wasn't going to get much better. I couldn't think of anything that they could have done to be more over, but they weren't. And then you got into looking into what did they do to get those tickets sold? Because we paid $175 for the ramp. And even 10 years ago, if that were WWE, that'd be a lot more money. No? So it's like you're saying, Matt, yeah, that's part of it, but you can't have a room of 5,000 and 10,000, then that fucking god-awful dinner theater after you had a major all-in event and you go to a dinner theater? I mean, what the fuck was that? Like, it sends the wrong message. It's like, it's confusing. It's really confusing that AEW does things like this.
So here's the thing is, for so long, everybody insisted that AEW should book 3,000 to 5,000 seat venues for weekly TV.
At first, yeah, they should have grown.
Exactly. And so now they are doing that and have done that for about a year. So they're booking those size venues for TV. They're still booking the 10, 15,000 seat venues for pay-per-views. Because as is known in the industry, the best pay-per-view events, let's be real, are AEW pay-per-view events on the whole. Now their weekly TV leaves a lot to be desired. Thus, they don't draw for their weekly TV. So I think that in there lies a lot of the problem, but also Matt hit the nail on the head. Promotion, promotion, promotion. It's not a media blitz when they come to town, like how it is with WWE. WWE goes to a city, they take that sumbitch over, and they have the market cornered on that. AEW, if they're doing a show in Vegas – you'll be lucky if you see a billboard with an AEW roster and card announcement
on when it. When they came to Vegas last, I do remember a lot of billboards with Jon Moxley and Timeless Tony Storm on them with the grayscale and the red lipstick. They did an okay job. It's not like they didn't. There was no indicators at all. But again, you're at the Allegiant. That's going to be WrestleMania plastered on that son of a bitch that you could see from the moon.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, my thing is this. The guys, they're a billion-dollar company or organization, the Khan family. I used to bitch about this when I worked at, you know, back in the day, my day job at Fry's Electronics, going, wait, you motherfuckers have your own jumbo jet 747 with the Fry's logo on it. You can't afford a billboard on the strip that says, go buy your electronics here. Hey, you need a laptop? Buy it here, down the street. Oh, wait. There's an ad for the Oakland Athletics game, and it was come to the Fry's Memorial Golf Outing. And don't forget this computer, $500. And that was the only time I'd ever saw an ad was once. So I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm like pining for the days when you had these big PLE commercials on TV. Maybe they should pay to have like internet, you know, like little YouTube videos broken up with AEW commercials. I don't know. I don't know what that would look like now.
I mean, interesting. So yeah, we'll see where this goes with the new ratings and everything. But we still got wrestling coming this week, and you know what that means. All right, Steve, you're over and under and over again and under again. Okay. You
tell me this week. Absolutely, man. So so I said that they would tee up Title Tuesday this coming week, and sure enough, they did. As of right now, which it shouldn't be this way, we should have on the regular a full card lineup, you know, almost a week in advance so that they can actually sell tickets. That ties into the whole promotions thing, as we mentioned in the last segment. But, you know, this week for Title Tuesday, we have 8 segments announced for Dynamite. And interestingly enough, for a show called Title Tuesday, we have 2 titles on the line out of that. And one of those is a Kyle versus Kyle rematch between O'Reilly and Fletcher. And then the other one is a Mercedes Moné open challenge for the TBS title. And some people are saying that this actually could be an interesting little bit of a nod. They could go a couple of different ways. They could have somebody on the roster, obviously, accept the challenge. They could also use this as a moment to introduce somebody. The qualifier from Mercedes was somebody from Florida. So even though she's not from there, she did work a lot of dates there. They could choose this opportunity to debut Dakota Kai, or what could be interesting and what could be a deep cut for a lot of people is I think we see Izzy Moreno actually take up that open challenge and wrestle Mercedes. Obviously, Izzy and Bayley are very good friends. Bayley and Mercedes are best friends. And that could be interesting. But all of that being said, the over-under this week will be under 0.5 title changes on Title Tuesday, because Kyle Fletcher is not losing that TBS the TNT title to Kyle O'Reilly, and Mercedes Moné, no matter who her challenger is, they're not beating Mercedes for that TBS title. So, yeah, no title changes on Title Tuesday. Book it.
Okay. No title changes on Title Tuesday. I love it. Well, that is that for the AEW. And let's see if we... All right, Mr. President. Pontificate.
Greetings from Washington, D.C., the home of your Lord and Chief. I've got the terrible Elon Skynet internet connection right now, which is why I'm coming in so slowly. It is so terrible what they've done to me. So absolutely terrible. And I'm so happy to be talking about Titty Tuesday. Steve was talking about Titty Tuesday, and these are titties like never before seen. Let's talk about Harley's titties and the Megan Bain's titties and Toni Storm. She's got no titties. I don't know how she wrestles and she has no titties. This is so sad. She's got a big ass, thick legs, but then the upper half doesn't match the bottom half. It's so very sad. And, you know, she's been doing this timeless Toni Storm thing for so many years now, and she has not afforded herself any titties. My address to you, Mr. Khan, we are looking into deporting you for allowing Toni Storm to remain titless for so long. This is an affront to all of the people of the United States of America who demand to have champions with titties. And then you replace her with Chris Statlander, who's an illegal alien and who also doesn't have any titties. You replaced one alien with another, and she also has no titties. So on Titty Tuesday, we're going to see Miss Monet, and she's got B cups, and they're okay titties. And yet she too is married to an illegal bull alien. So we're going to have to deport her novia, Black Taurus. You know, get this cock and bullshit out of here. We got to get these people out of here. We have so many ugly people with no titties on AEW. WWE, all those women have titties. There's nobody at WWE without titties. Everyone, it's in the contract. If you don't have double D's, you won't be getting any of these, okay? You got to have titties, okay? Titties like never before seen, except for the Japanese women. They don't get to have titties. They have little titties. They've got little chopstick titties. And, yeah, because you can pick those things up with a chopstick, you know? It's true. It's so true. You got to lift Kairi Sane's titties up with a chopstick, okay? It's so sad. It's so sad. That's why they're doing the lesbian porn thing with Rhea Ripley, because it's the only way to make them attractive is you have them scissor each other in the middle of the ring in Perth, and then they all get strap-ons, and they're going to triple team Rhea Ripley, and it'll be fun for the whole family. It'll be fun for the whole family. Believe it. Okay, that's what you do with when they have no titties. Okay. That's it. If you're Asian, you get to have no titties. You know, it's so sad. It's so sad. Toni Storm, come on, buy some titties. Buy some titties. Look, Britt Baker, she took a kick to the face and got her nose fixed. You know, remember that? Oh, I broke my face. No. It was called rhinoplasty. Okay. Kind of hard to wrestle when you whistle while you work and you're just breathing. Okay. So sad. And then the other one, she did the same thing. What was that, Ruby Soho? That was another one. They called her the Pelican Brief, okay? They needed nose jobs like I needed a distraction from the... Anyways, and they got it. And they, see, Toni used to know. He just goes, okay, ladies, you've got titties, but you've got fucked up noses. Fix that, okay? Take one to the face. Now, Anna Jay, I don't know what she's wrestling for tomorrow, but she's got an ass and she's got titties. And her face is cute as a button, okay? I want to drop presidential pardons on her like never before seen, okay? We want to make her a superstar. And Holly Cameron could sing, okay? Toni, she could sing. You want to be a superstar, but this one can sing and she's got titties. She's going into Titty Tuesday. I want it to be like Taco Tuesday. Dollar titties, okay? Okay, and I don't want to have to stream my titties, all right? I want to see them on USA. Believe it. The United States of America Network, which we're going to be calling, honestly, calling the Trump Network, where we stream all of the titties of... And remember when they had the dude with the titties?
What was his name?
DJ Impact, raw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on, I'ma tie it with a noose, cause I love you to death, girl, you got me on you. Yeah, these girls do the most, like every time I talk, they don't like what I post. I went down to Texas to perform a couple shows, cause they love the way I move and they love the way I roll. Big dipping on.
All right, time for a little internet dump here. Some good news. Bret Hart has revealed that his daughter Jade has triumphantly battled breast cancer, which is great to hear. Congratulations. Jesus. Of course, I would start with that. What?
Of course.
Damn it.
Well done.
Hey, Lisa Marie Veron is going to induct Mickey James into the TNA Hall of Fame, which is pretty sweet news right there. Looking forward to seeing
it's
that.
It's an ass knockout.
Paul Walter Hauser criticizes WWE's ticket pricing, calling them greedy and ugly. Quote, times are tougher than they used to be, yet prices keep going up. There's no sense of humanity from a corporate standpoint. It's like Mr. Potter and Once a Wonderful Life getting greedy. It's ugly behavior. Or, as I call it, WWE won't let me on their television show. He also said he's been approached about pro wrestling biopics. Speaking to Inside the Ring, Hauser discusses potential roles. Quote, I have been approached about playing Mick Foley. Really? I've also been approached about playing Jim Neidhart.
Who the fuck is this guy?
The fucking guy from Cobra Kai, who is the comedy bit fat guy.
He's won a Golden Globe, I think it was. And he's done indie wrestling stuff. Like, he's been in death matches and shit for GCW. So.
Yeah,
it looks like they succeeded in killing his career.
No, he holds a belt somewhere. Yeah, this guy's just whatever.
I've got a belt too. Here, I bought it at Walmart.
Here we go. This is a real movie, man. What a great poster for They Live. Love that film. Yeah. And it's that time of year again, so bust out your They Live for the Halloween season. Right. Do y'all know that James Avery, Uncle Phil in Fresh Prince, was the voice of the Junkyard Dog in Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling?
And he was also Shredder.
Yes.
Most Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I know it's a Junkyard Dog, but I also don't like seeing a black guy with a chain around his neck like a leash. It's just, Roots, anyone?
We really can't. We're just nope.
Yep, we're not saying a word.
Nope. But we have no problem saying stuff about Asians. Hey, look at this Pixar film, Blue Mist.
That's actually really dope. That's dope. Yeah,
that's pretty fucking awesome.
That is fucking AI is brilliant.
Speaking of painted faces, Zarya with her makeup and without her makeup. Which one are you taking?
Damn. Either
put that back up there.
Okay.
I'll take the way that shows her titties.
And again, Bret Hart's daughter Jade has triumphantly battled breast cancer. Just to even it out here and bring up a good positive point and not just be low and negative. Speaking about being low and negative, look, Kevin Owens dressed up with John Cena during his night out with his family for Halloween. And John even retweeted Kevin.
That's awesome.
Kevin Latte there. That just fucking is amazing. Speaking of costumes, this is my 50th birthday a few weeks ago, wrestling themed. This was our costume demolition in Mr. Fuji. My fiance is X. I was smashed, and our daughter is Mr. Fuji. And that's reader Wayne Michael Loeb Jr. there.
Parenting done right.
That's fucking amazing. Yeah.
Here's my question. What is the safe word that they use when they don't want to make too much noise and wake the kid up at 3 a.m?
Fuji. Fuji. And by the way, I mean, that's not racist, so we're all good.
Still one of the greatest entrance themes of all time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Roman Reigns, bed and breakfast.
Gotta love. And that is actually in India. I'm not making that up. I'm not using any kind of a random statement there. That is actually located in India.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
what, Rob, would you rather be called Leukemia Inn?
No, the Rat Shit Motel.
Suffering succotash.
Milk. And that was really hard to say.
And John Layfield posted a picture here. It's not Saturday night in Beverly Hills without Mr. Iguana, Jimmy Hart, and Ron.
Dude, that's just the setup for a joke.
Right. And Mr. Iguana's got a Pulp Fiction shirt on, too. This,
hell yeah.
So it looks even like better. He's got the APA on his shirt.
That would be like me having to go to every function anywhere dressed up as Donald Trump. After a while, I'm sure that Mr. Iguana guy goes home and just cries. Like, 5 years from now, it's not going to be cute when you still have to run around dressed up like a fucking iguana.
Hey, Rob, what term are we in? How long have you been doing it?
I'm actually, so the funny thing now is for about a couple of weeks, I haven't been doing materialist Trump. And then I got booked somewhere and they put the Trump, you know, me is dressed up in Trump on the flyer. And I was like, oh, it's too late to say anything. God damn it. fuck it all.
Well, you probably give them this look. That's the women at local wrestling when you're booing their man. Every person in this picture here was stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Can we do it again?
Visualizing in the mirror the man I want to become.
That's right.
That's right.
I remember that picture and I'm like, wait a minute. Elvis is not happy with his life?
No, man. He always wanted to be a macho man. We all knew that. That's why he attacked Miss Elizabeth with the Heart Foundation. Duh. Speaking of the Macho Man, Macho Man Fred Savage.
That is so good. Fuck. I have to get that shirt.
Apparently, this person, whoever this was, I don't know, they found it at Goodwill on top of everything.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. But then you gotta steam that, brother. You got to turn it inside out and iron that shit. Oh, man. Can't do Macho Man Fred Savage like that.
It's probably a really old, disgusting t-shirt.
Oh, God.
Ripley.
That's creepy as fuck. And here's the thing. Like, if there was no Michael Jackson and you saw that, what would your first thought be? You'd be like, oh, shit.
LaToya Jackson. That'd be my first thought. Looks like LaToya. And finally, Rocker Steiner, world champion bareback rider. I'm sure you like that, Rob.
Wait a minute. Why didn't they say that he was like a second generation? Like, he's not one of the Steiners? Come on, man.
No, but he's a world champion barebacker.
He is definitely a barebacker.
Yeah.
I knew what they were doing on that one.
Oh, this boy likes the bareback riding.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Rob, what do you got going on?
There you go. On October 27th, yes, I will be competing in a comedy competition for a $1,000 grand prize. Ooh. At the Bonfire on 610 East Naples Drive. Thank you, because I am absent-minded. On Wednesday, I will be at Ola Abibi, which is 1115 Casino Center Drive. That show will be at 9:30.
And I might make,
even though he just lost his title to Ricky Starks. Hola, baby, the former NXT heavyweight champion.
Wednesday, I might be making an appearance at Johnny's Bucket, which is a version of it's like an insult 1 minute comedy type thing. It's a version of that, and that will be at if I do go Dive Bar before, so it'll be about 7 o'clock at Dive Bar if I choose to go to that one. But that will be a drop-in.
There you go. Steve, what do you got to say?
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We did. It's been one of those.
Trump didn't. That's obvious.
Oh, boy. I don't know what... Oh, no. More presidential pontifications? Oh, no. Good God.
Hold on. That'll do. Executive order for the month of February and October. Actually, we're going into October. We're going to have an executive order called Save the Titties Month. Okay, STT, save the titties, okay? And saving the titties means, for some people, having titties. We're going to raise funds to have every female wrestler with a pair of their own double Ds or greater, courtesy of the Save the Titties Foundation. Save the titties. And I think we're going to start our own wrestling promotion. Full out nude wrestling. Full out nude. It'll be fondle wrestling. Okay.
F-O-N-W.
Yeah. Fondle wrestling. We're looking forward to it. Okay. It's going to be nonstop giblet wrestling. Like classic 90s. We're going to have Kitty Pull sit up with gravy. And the first one to get their giblets into the gravy wins the Fondle Women's title. Okay, it's a beautiful title, the best title, the goldest title. It's going to be a title like never before seen. And then after that, you get to go to the top floor of Trump Tower. You're president like Sloppy Toppy. There you go. Thank you.
In the booth so fine, white fuzzy slippers on the low key rhyme, spinning records till the break of dawn, and those slippers, he got it going on.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights, podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.